Twitter, hashtag BizTakeOuts. Any questions for either one of the guests, we'll have a look at it there. And yeah, but before we get into our show, let's look at our must-read stories on Biz Community for the day. We start out with featured job. We've got account director, and this is within the retail industry. This is from Viv Gordon. It says a leading international advertising agency is urgently looking for an account director to take the lead on a large retail account. If that is you, Cape Town based, go have a look on the site. All the details are there. Our second story is why Wi-Fi will become the next corporate must-have. This is from Shane Corley. Yeah, interesting piece. Go have a look. See what he's got to say about Wi-Fi. We all want it, often don't get it, but yeah, go see what he says there. Third must read, we've got how entrepreneurs can compete with large companies. Also, very, very good piece. Yeah, if you are an entrepreneur or if you're interested in that, go have a look there. Fourth story, on the tech side, we've got Pick and Pay launches mobile loyalty app, the Smart Shopper. Go have a look at what they're doing. And then lastly, we've got The Art of Branding, and this is from Clarissa Vermeer. Yeah, go have a look there, what she says about branding. That is our top read for the day on bizcommunity.com. Go have a look. We're going to take a quick song, and then we're going to be back with Krishna to chat spree.co.za. See you after this.
Business drivers and opinion makers, you're listening to Biz Takeouts in Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the marketing and media show. That was Queens of the Stone Age with No One Knows, and that was a request. And you know who you requested that. You didn't want your name to be mentioned. Okay, so in front of me, I've got Krishna Motokuri, who is the CEO for Spree.co.za, which is a brand new, I'm going to say, e-commerce site. It's a little bit different to the traditional e-commerce site South Africa has seen, at least. Krishna spent lots of time overseas with Amazon, big commerce players. Welcome to Biz Takeouts, Krishna.
Thanks for having me on the show, Warren.
No problem. Okay, I think let's start out. Obviously, Spree.co.za, you guys are describing yourself as a shoppable magazine. What exactly does that mean?
Warren, it's a very simple concept. It happens a lot. You pick up a magazine, especially a fashion magazine. You flip through the pages and you see these beautiful clothes and nicely put together fashion spreads. And you want to buy them, you can't.
Yeah.
You have to actually step in, get into your car, go to the mall, find the exact product and buy it. Wouldn't it be nice if you just were able to click right from the pages of the magazine and bought those products?
Okay.
Well, now thanks to the internet, it's possible. In digital magazines, while you're browsing, you should be able to click, and then e-commerce site delivers it, and you get everything. And that's the basic idea of a shoppable magazine.
Okay, so it's taking actual clothes from a magazine that you're seeing within print, putting it into context on a site, so it's not just essentially a catalog of clothes sitting in front of you. Okay, so how else is this model different to your traditional e-commerce sites? What elements make it more exciting?
Absolutely. So we actually curate every single product that is displayed on Spree. Like a typical e-commerce site would just take whatever products they get from suppliers and then photograph them and then put them on the site. We, on the other hand, actually have an in-house fashion team that decides what the trends are for the season and only hand-selects products that are relevant for the local market and enriches those products with specific contextual information about how to wear those clothes, and more detailed information on the quality of the fabric and everything, and that's how we present it. So it's a little bit more like the magazine lean back experience where we're not just looking at a product, but you're learning about how to wear it and the right context there.
Okay, so as you mentioned, curation, which is obviously going to become more important. To me, the reason I don't buy clothes online is because I want to see it and touch it and feel it, and which I think is adding an extra element to
Absolutely.
It. So okay, and then also you've got Chris Yun, who is doing all the fashion for you guys.
That's right.
Is he solely reliant on the magazine? So does he take what's in the magazine and put it on the store, or does it kind of work in a two-way street? Does he work with the magazines as well to see what's going to be going in there?
Yeah, it's a parallel process. So what we do at Spree is we put together a collection of products, and Chris actually directs the selection and puts together the collection. But each magazine's editor gets their own collection that they can put together. So we have sub-stores within Spree for each of the magazines, and each magazine essentially curates the overall Spree selection for their own audiences.
Okay.
So it's tailored for each magazine.
Okay, and then Is the site updated on a monthly basis, weekly basis? Obviously, like, I know one of the magazines is Grazia magazine. So is it updated every week with new items that's in the magazine that week? Or
absolutely,
is it
yeah.
So every single week? So
every single week we have new products. For example, we put out new products every Wednesday around 11 a.m. or so. And we put out new specials, like discounted products, every Friday.
Okay.
We try to actually do it as quickly as possible, but at this point it's weekly.
And then obviously one of the benefits for you guys is that there's no need for massive warehouses holding stock and all of that. How's South Africa taken? Obviously, you guys have been around since April. How's the site doing? How have South African women taken to shopping like this?
Well, it seems like our customers love us.
Okay.
I mean, almost 70% of the visitors that we get are customers that have actually visited before.
Okay.
Very, very high return rate. We have a net promoter score upwards of 60, which means that people who shop on Spree are actually going out and telling all their friends. I think the primary reason is we've made it very, very easy to shop online, find the right product that you want, and we ship very quickly. Like within 24 hours, 90% of our shipments are delivered, especially if you're in a major center. And that's created this very positive vibe.
Okay. So 24-hour delivery and exchanges and things like that. What are the other extra services Spree's offering shoppers?
Exactly. We decided to go the extra mile when it came to returns because we understand how, you know, difficult it is to, like you said, you know, pick a product without actually touching and feeling it. So we want to eliminate any kind of doubt in the customer's mind. So we allow customers to return products for up to 30 days, free of charge. So buy whatever you want, you know, whatever size. If it doesn't fit you, just give us a call. You have 30 days.
Okay.
And we'll take it back.
As long as you don't wear it to a cocktail party and mess
absolutely,
tomato
of course,
sauce
you have
on
to
it.
Keep the tags
you're
on
fine.
It.
and then okay, if you look at the South African, like I'm talking more industry wise now, if you look at South African e-commerce compared to, obviously you've spent some time in India, at the e-commerce there. Where is South Africa in terms of international trends? How are we doing? What do you think is the future for e-commerce in South Africa?
Yeah, so I think in terms of fashion itself, I think South Africa is actually more fashion forward than what I've seen in India. But in terms of sheer e-commerce, internet penetration and usage, I think we may be about 2 years behind India. What I see is that the investment that the government made in broadband access and mobile, you know, 4G rollout has helped a lot, you know, in India. I think we're still catching up there.
Okay, and the future of e-commerce in South Africa, like obviously it is a growing industry. What do you think is going to happen over the next 5-10 years, specifically for the industry?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, even now today, e-commerce, while it's small, if you look at the way we're doing, we're looking at our numbers, you know, starting from this April to the end of this fiscal March, we're looking at 1,000% growth. So it's growing very rapidly.
Yeah.
But industry is only growing at 30% year over year.
Okay.
I expect one of these years, then either 2 years from now or so, when you'll see like 100-150% growth for most of the players in the market.
Okay. Well, look, 1,000% great, but even 150% growth, that's in any market, that's very impressive. And the future of e-commerce, what's your prediction for the next, say, 5 years? Obviously, e-commerce started out as very much catalog-based, like click, shop, whatever.
That's right.
Then it's moved now into like curation and shoppable magazine. What's the next step for e-commerce?
So I expect, obviously, you know, a few general merchandisers to be present that sell all kinds of products. But you will see lots and lots of verticals coming up. And within verticals, different formats. I think curation will be key. It's happened you know, in the US and UK already, where customers are saying, now there are too many e-commerce sites and there's this deluge of products, and I want somebody to tell me what to buy and why.
Mm-hmm.
And so curated commerce is the latest trend in e-commerce, and you'll see a lot of that happening in South Africa as well.
Okay, and then when it comes to actually marketing e-commerce sites, so for example Spree, how are you guys marketing the site? What are the different elements you guys look at?
So it's pretty multi-channel. I mean, we obviously have a lot of online marketing efforts. We do a lot of social media marketing, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We also have a TV campaign that we run. In fact, we have our most recent TV campaign kicked off yesterday. We'll look at radio and print as well. I think, you know, we have to be everywhere. Yeah.
And if you look at the major traffic drivers, at looking at your different marketing elements, which are the major traffic drivers for you guys? Where do you see the spikes coming from?
So online marketing is definitely the one that drives most of our customer acquisition. But we have very high repeat usage. So in those terms, I mean, our email newsletter that goes out, which is almost like a mini magazine in itself, drives most of our transactions. TV helps a lot with branding.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously different objectives from different elements. And then speed.co.za at the moment is women only. Yeah. Is there a men's section coming?
Yes. So all the men that are listening, stay tuned. I think in about 3 to 4 months' time, we plan to launch our men's category.
Interesting. I will definitely be looking out for that. And after the men's sections, what's next for Spree? So what's the next step for the site?
Yeah. So we are actually we look at ourselves not just as a fashion site, but a broader lifestyle e-commerce site. We recently launched kind of a soft launched home decor as well. We see that's another category where curation really matters, and explaining to people, customers, where and how and the products fit makes a lot of sense. We will add more such categories that fit into curation.
Okay, and if you look at the other e-commerce sites in South Africa, I'm going to ask you to name some competitors now. Who do you think is doing well? So who's up there in the e-commerce side, and do you expect more competitors to be coming into this market?
So I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you with my answer. But the truth is that we are very focused on what we're doing.
Okay.
And we don't usually look at competitors. We certainly get inspiration from innovative things other people are doing, but not necessarily looking at any particular site as a competitor.
Okay. And if you look at purchases on laptops compared to mobile, obviously Africa, South Africa, we're very mobile driven. Are you guys looking at the split? How much is coming from mobile side? How much is coming laptop or PC side?
So I was looking at it just yesterday, and it actually surprised me because I wasn't expecting it. 35% of our traffic comes from mobile devices, which is phones and tablets.
Yeah.
And it was only about 15% just 6 months ago.
Okay.
So it's already grown. And that's despite the fact that we don't have a mobile optimized website.
Okay.
I would clearly assume that I think in about 3 or 4 months' time, we should be seeing 50% of our traffic coming from mobile devices.
That's it. And if you compare that to international trends, where is that sitting?
I think with India, I think it's probably at par.
Okay.
But in the US, it's still more laptop oriented and more tablet heavy, not mobile.
Okay. Cool. Well, look, we are running out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we're going to keep a lookout on speed.co.za. I'm going to be looking out for the men stuff. We always end the interview on a question like this, so let's see how you're going to answer this. Who would win in an arm wrestle between you and Chris Becker?
Chris is probably going to win.
You think so?
I think yeah.
He's getting a little bit older now. He is your boss, but he's getting a little bit older. Come on, you need to back yourself. Cool. Krishna, thank you so much for joining us. Super interesting. What you guys are doing is so cool. I love the idea. I love the concept. So I'm keen to see where it goes. I do think other guys are going to start following you, which is, it's nice being the leader.
Absolutely.
Let's see where that goes. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again.
Thanks once again.
Cool. That was Krishna Mutakuri from spree.co.za. We are going to take a quick song and we'll be back shortly with Justin.
Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the Marketing and Media Show. We had a few songs there. We had Black Keys, we had Passenger, we had something else I can't remember. All right, in front of me, I've got Justin Gomes. Whenever I see your surname, I always want to go hanging with my Gomi. I don't know why, where that comes from. He's the ECD Executive Creative Director for Fox P2, which is a Cape Town agency. And let's find out what he's got to say. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I also get Gomes a lot, so Gomi's a new one.
Hold on, just move the mic a little bit closer to your mouth there.
There you go.
Okay. look, I think starting out, let's kind of look at Fox P2. What is Fox P2?
We're an advertising agency that started 8 years ago in Cape Town. We named ourselves Fox P2. It's the name of the creativity gene. We just thought there was an opening in the marketplace for an agency that really applied creativity to essentially marketing challenges or business challenges. So we haven't really specialized in any particular medium, but we always apply the lens of creativity to whatever our clients' business challenges are.
Okay, so you consider yourself a creative agency, obviously going across print, digital, above the line, below the line. So there's no boundary in terms of the medium. It's all about the creativity.
Yeah, everyone's got to have a shtick, and ours is Fox P2, the freedom to mutate. And what that means is we will always find the most relevant creative solution to the problem. So, you know, often you'll get a brief that dictates we need a TV ad or a magazine ad, remember those, or a radio ad. But we try to encourage with our clients, just come to us with your top line problem and we'll find the best creative solution, and then the media will plug into that rather than dictating the media up front.
Okay, so okay, looking at the industry now, you guys are on the creative side. When clients come to you and say, I want digital this or traditional this, do you work with other agencies or their current agencies? And how does that work? How do you think it all fits together?
Well, the nice thing is the lines are becoming more and more blurred. And there's a Marcella Serpa actually said, there's no such thing as above the line or below the line. The only line that separates is the line between good and bad ideas. And I think that's becoming more and more prevalent. And we'll conceptualize in whatever medium, and then partner with the best people to execute that, whether it be digital agencies or activation agencies. Because we're seeing more and more, I think you guys on Two Oceans Vibe here, you guys post them quite a bit, the new trend of prankvertising.
Yeah.
And obviously that takes quite a specialist skill set in executing, but the actual conceptual side of it will always come from conceptual creative agencies.
Well, talking about prankvertising, did you see the one this week about the telekinetic coffee shop?
For Kerry.
Yes. Thoughts?
One of our clients is actually Stekinico, so obviously we sent that to them straight away and said, come on, let's do something here. But it's a different way of working, More and more clients don't have the massive budgets to go on television and get the kind of reach that they need to, especially with more and more people trying to cut out TV advertising. So marketers are having to find different ways to get their ideas out there. And what we're finding is with this prankvertising, it's hard to get right, but when you do, it gets spread by people and consumers themselves and proliferates across media rather than having to book TV spots up front. So I think we're quite far behind everyone in that sense, but we're all pushing really hard to get clients around to this new way of thinking. There'll always be a place for big brand awareness, but more and more with smaller budgets you're having to look at these different kinds of approaches.
And then have you guys pitched any cool prank ideas like that to clients? Do you think are clients quite cautious of that kind of thing? Because I know one of your clients is Frank.net. We'll chat about Nana, which is quite a serious brand. It's life insurance, that kind of thing. How do you kind of go to the client and say, I want to do this, which is pretty creative and out there? How are clients receptive to those kind of ideas?
Well, I think it's it requires hard work and prep, and you actually need the strats up front. You can't just go in there with something crazy. You actually need to show up front why it works. But just to answer your first question in terms of the sort of prankvertising, we actually Captain Morgan's one of our brands, and we did that kid the Jack Parra arrest. And then Captain Morgan delivered him on stage at Opie Corpie. So that was kind of our first foray into the area, turned out really well. The guys at Opie Corpie were saying they'd never seen a stunt like this before, where we actually delivered him in the cop car to the stage, which was quite something. With regards to Frank.net, up front that was actually the hardest part, was selling the strategy, and where we said there's actually an opportunity, to your point, in this life insurance space for a brand to actually talk really frankly about death. And that was actually the hardest sell. Once we'd sold that tone of voice and thinking in, all the executions followed. But we actually named the brand ourselves Frank for that reason, because we felt there was a space for a Frank tone of voice.
Okay, so that's where it comes from. It's talking frankly about life insurance.
Absolutely.
I just thought you were being clever with some subliminal advertising there. when it comes to clients choosing creative agencies, what's your advice for the clients listening, going, these are the things you should look out for, this is what they should be looking out for when picking an agency?
I actually don't think you can pick on the work alone. I think chemistry is so important. It's easy to get married, it's so painful to get divorced. So when we get asked to pitch, we really go in with pitch work that we believe in, and make sure that there's a chemistry between clients and agency. So often guys will come in with the jazz hands, headlines and dazzle the clients, but when it actually comes down to working on the ground, you find you're just worlds apart. So we really apply a great deal of rigor, you know, from our side, and encourage clients to do the same from their side, to make sure that we can actually work together, because the best work is ultimately reached together, not just by, you know, agencies' conceptual thinking.
Okay, and then looking forward, what do you think the agency of the future looks like?
Well, we all it's a moving landscape at the moment. I think, you know, we're seeing the trends overseas where, you know, agencies like Droga5 and these kinds of guys, they're furthest ahead in the game, where you're actually seeing them incorporate deals with Netflix and entertainment recruitment agencies, and I think it's basically becoming the agencies that are able to be nimble and agile and adapt and move quickly are the ones that ultimately are going to survive. I think it's unfortunate we saw an agency closing up in Joburg recently. It was Grey up in Joburg, and I think more and more of the agencies that sort of rely on the big network structures don't have that agility and nimble ability to react quickly to things that are happening out there. And certainly we're seeing a lot more independent agencies like ourselves and Joe Public being invited to more and more pitches by the big guys like Unilever and Coca-Cola. So there's a general recognition out there in the marketplace that we need to be able to react to everything happening out there as quickly as possible.
Okay, and then looking at the client side, obviously we've mentioned Frank, and we have actually got a clip which I think we'll play now of one of the Frank ads, which I think is very cool, because once again, it's not your traditional like life insurance is serious. This is what you need to know. For this amount of money every month, you can have this much in the end. It's a different take on that. So we'll play that now. What other clients are you guys working with? What other cool stuff are you doing?
Well, the other guys we won at Lurie's, it was actually the only gold Lurie in the television category, was for Stekinikor. We created a TV ad where you see a bunch of trucks hurtling towards each other.
Glitter, dynamite, that.
Exactly. You withhold the ending, and the only place you could see the ending was actually on the big screen, which worked really well for them in the marketplace and also got recognized creatively. So we're doing a lot of work with Stekinikor. Property 24, if you're not using Property 24, you're house hunting in the 80s.
Yeah, such a cool, so rad as well.
Which got a really good reaction out there in the marketplace. You know, we've heard members of the public actually, you know, quoting lines, you know, it's like, never fear, MacGyver's here. Yeah. It's okay, I've got a pencil. And I think that's really rewarding, where you see your work sort of become a part of popular culture, but also get rewarded at the creative shows like the Lurie's. And I keep telling my creatives, you know, that's the sweet spot that you really, really, really want to hit.
Well, I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you know this offhand. Is the first time I saw those 80s property ads was this pre-roll on YouTube, and it's like I can probably think of a handful of ads where I actually watched an ad before watching a movie. What kind of response did you guys get from YouTube on that? So
yeah, it was crazy. We we did the ads as pre-rolls, and I think collectively they've been watched, I think it was like around 600,000, I think, three Jeez. Combined. But then we also did something which we're really proud of, is we actually set up a fake casting session for the next Property 24 80s ad.
Yeah.
We got all these youngsters in to cast, and we gave them 80s technology as props. So we gave them like a fax machine, old rotary phone, and we actually filmed them. They thought they were casting for the new ad, and they couldn't actually use the technology.
It's crazy.
So if you go check out Property 24 casting tapes on YouTube, it's really great fun, and I think that's another example of, you know, the kind of prankvertising we're talking about, and the hits on that are pretty big as well.
Yeah, so that almost falls within the category of like going beyond advertising. It's content marketing essentially. It's the behind the scenes, but not really. It kind of fits in a funny place, but I'm definitely going to check that out. So just say that again. It's Property 24
casting tapes.
Property 24 casting tapes. Okay, I want to check that out. And then, okay, in terms of measuring campaigns, obviously we've spoken now about YouTube. How do you measure the success of your creative idea?
Well, frank.net's really easy. It's a direct life company, so there are two SMS numbers in the actual ads we're going to play. I think it's the first time an ad, radio ad with two SMSs has won the Grand Prix at Lurie's. But it's a great, you know, radio is a great medium to measure when you link it to a call center, which we do with Frank, and obviously you can measure the SMSs there. In terms of property 24, we've noticed that they've actually overtaken private property as the number one property search portal in South Africa, with some great numbers of increased visits to the website. So more and more, I don't think there are any agencies out there who do creativity for creativity's sake anymore. You know, everything is linked to business results, and before you actually agreed on a concept, your client's going to say, okay, you're going to be measured on this and this and this. So the days of the 80s sort of Sun City, we will rock you extravaganzas are over. Everything is very measurable, and advertising has actually become pretty serious. Maybe that's why prankvertising is coming back.
Let's take a listen to one of the Frank ads quickly. Hold on. Here we go.
Death is a dyslexic pharmacist. Death is a mothball that looks like an after-dinner mint. Death is laughing with a mouthful of Brazil nuts, swimming after a big lunch, or poking a pile of leaves with a stick just to see what's in there. Death doesn't have to try very hard, but thankfully, with Frank Life Cover, neither do you. Just SMS Frank to 43001. We'll call you right back and you can be covered by the end of the call. That's Frank to 43001. SMS rates and T's and C's apply. Frank.net is a licensed financial services provider.
Okay, there we go. So as you said, two SMSs, which I didn't even pick up the first time I listened to it. After you said it. So I just think such a cool idea. Like in my head, I'm trying to go, when you pitch this to the client, was it an immediate yes, we love it, or was there a bit of convincing behind the story?
Well, it's interesting. In the early days of Frank, we launched the brand, and we actually had for the radio ads, we actually had quite a nondescript everyday voice that didn't really encapsulate the frankness of the brand. And it was a really brave client who, when we went to them and said, we know we've done our first burst with this other voice, but we've found this new voice that we think really, really speaks to the brand. And once we had his voice approved, actually everything opened up, because almost the tone of his voice dictated a lot of the writing. Very dry, very little emotion, and that was really key, because when you look at outsurance ads or a lot of the competitors, there's this sense of manufactured emotion, I would call it, where you see people running through the streets in slow motion, and the millennial consumer can smell a rat a mile away.
Completely.
So it was great taking this it's almost non-emotive voiceover, where here are the facts. It's easy to get life insurance through Frank. You don't have to try very hard, which is a good thing, because death doesn't have to try very hard either.
Yeah.
And it was a combination of that positioning and the voice, I think, that really made the ad stand out, and client recognized that.
Okay. Well, look, I think such a cool concept. Yeah, I just think so different. I also think I like the voice, because it makes me think, and I think people underestimate this. Like, branding is about consistency, and I think it's the different senses, and that's hearing is one of the senses, and it's constant. So if I think of FMB ads, Steve's voice, like, you'd recognize his voice anywhere. So I think just such a I just think so well put together.
Just on that point, make no mistake, there are a lot of people out there who particularly 702 listeners, the older guys, who we flat the ads quite a bit there, and a lot of people have had a reaction to that voice, saying it's so we hate it and it's so irritating. But the fact is that it cuts it cuts through the clutter, and it delivers your message. So they're always going into the tone of this brand, we always said there going to be some people who don't go for it, but at the end of the day, life insurance is too easy to ignore, and we've actually found a way for people to sit up and think about it in a different way, and ultimately that's what you want to do to get the phone ringing.
Essentially, perfect. And then, okay, last question about client side, and then we'll start looking at the Lurie's and that. When you guys go see a new client with an idea, what is the most common question you get from that client?
How are we going to do that?
How much does it cost? How are we going to do that?
how are we going to do that? Because we're constantly trying to push the clients into doing something that hasn't been done before. If you do something that's been done before, it's not going to cut through the clutter. It's not going to do what you want it to do. But with that comes a step of faith. And I think that's as you become a slightly older agency, you know, the clients have more and more faith in your execution. So when we show our credentials now, we're very clear to, for example, you know, include the Property 24 casting tapes, yeah, to include the Jack Parra stunt, and say, look, we have actually pulled it off twice before. I know this is new ground for you, but we're getting better at it. We've got the right partners in place. We've got the right producer in place, and you need to take that step of faith. But that comes with time, and we're just going to keep pushing our clients and proving that we can pull these things off.
Yeah. Essentially, it's case study, results, and trust. Yeah. That those are the spot things on. You want to get out there. Okay, you mentioned Lurie's. You mentioned the you guys won a gold, which was well done. You mentioned the campaign, but it now has left my mind.
We got the Grand Prix for the Frank campaign you've just played.
Yeah,
and we got gold for Stekinico, the TV ad.
Okay,
And then silver. Yeah, we got also one for Property 24. And some other brands. But you know, I just said to the guys before the weekend started, you should never define yourself by, you know, what shade of metal you get.
And yeah,
before we went into the weekend, we had I think we had 54 finalists for a 40-man agency, and I just said to everyone at the agency, you know, it takes such commitment and passion for an agency our size to get, you know, it was actually the second highest number of finalists in the country.
Yeah.
And whatever happens this weekend, you know, it's a celebration of all your hard work. And actually on the Saturday night when we had our Fox B2 party, I think we'd only won 3 bronzes, and you know, the people still partied like we'd actually won the Grand Prix that night. And that's a great sign of the spirit.
I'm not going to tell you how I got in, but I was actually at the Fox B2 party, so I did see what was going down.
DJ Vinyl Richie.
And then, okay, if you think of the finalists you had, or think of the entries you had which were finalists, which of those didn't win anything, but you think, damn, I really think that should have won something?
All of them. No, there was one campaign in particular that actually did well at Cannes, and I did expect it to come through in the TV category. Was our Rediscover Dairy Spots, where we had 2 characters in 2 different ads. The one was the athlete Dusty Malloy. He's the fastest man never to have won a race, and
yeah,
he was always false starting, and sort of the ad investigates why, and we see him drinking milk at the end, and the bridge line is dairy gives you go, rediscover dairy. And then the other one was the Styx Fontonda ad, where he's the world's greatest drummer, but no one can play with him because even in the ballads he's just going off with his drum kit. So I thought those could have come through, but all in all, we had a great weekend, so really,
yeah,
I'll take it.
And then just a last thing on that is, obviously, a lot of the campaigns we've chatted about have got some element of humor in them. Do you think that's important when coming up with creative ideas? Do you think humor is an important element, or what other points are you looking at?
Yeah, I think obviously it's brand dependent, but we always say, you know, if you're at a dinner party, who do you want to sit next to? You know, the serious guy or the guy who makes you laugh and makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
And it's the same way about letting brands in nowadays. You've got to find a way to actually let consumers, you know, drop their guard to let you into their world. And there was a lovely description I heard the other day. Said, you know, in the old days, the party was at the brand's house.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the party's at the consumer's house, and
exactly,
the brand's got to find a way to get into the party and actually be interesting and engaging so people respond. And I think that was a great analogy.
Yeah, that's very cool. And then, okay, we are running out of time. We've got a couple of minutes left. Inspiration-wise, where are you looking? So overseas, or where do you get your inspiration from? What trends are you following?
But I think, you know, you can always look to other, you know, advertising agencies, great work, and overseas agencies. But what we try to do at Fox is we almost try to create this, you know, culture where, you know, we're open to all kinds of creative expression. So, you know, we haven't done it for a while. That's bad. But we try to go to arts exhibitions together on our outings. You know, we'll get the guys together, you know, to watch documentaries. We've played, you know, hired the lobbyer before to you know, to screen documentaries for the agency, and I think it's just being open to, you know, as many different channels as possible, because you never know where inspiration, you know, might come from, and you shouldn't really just close it down to following what's going out in the advertising world, but really keep that funnel really wide, so what comes out is unexpected.
Okay, and then two last questions before we say goodbye. What's the next big thing coming from Foxbee 2?
Sure, the next big thing, we're doing our next Captain Morgan stunt.
Okay.
Which we're very excited about. I can't say where or when just yet.
Okay.
But this will be our second activation, or whatever we want to call it, in this new direction that we've headed with Captain Morgan, and I'm really excited because we used to always have to place the overseas ads locally,
yeah.
And where the research actually showed that it wasn't resonating with South Africans locally. So we always say it's a brave man who ate the first oyster, but our client in Captain Morgan was literally at the first oyster in this instance with the Jack Parrow arrest, and now we're just going to build on that and you know, really find a way for Captain Morgan to engage with this young target market in an unexpected, non-traditional way, as opposed to following the typical media plans out there.
Okay, my last question for you, and you have to give me a yes or no. You just say I'm definitely going to answer this for you.
Whoa. I was trying to think if you know any of my ex-girlfriends. Or
No. It's okay. Nothing like that.
I will answer this yes or no.
Foxbee 2's got a theme song. I think.
You were at the Foxbee 2 party.
So my question for you is, what does the fox say?
I've got to say yes or no, you said.
No. I didn't say yes.
I'll go with hati, 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 ho. That's my final answer.
You ended it in ho. Justin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Warren.
But basically, awesome stuff. I'm going to put all the Frank ads onto Biz Community as well, and under our section. I want people to listen to them. I just think they're so cool. And I actually haven't heard them on the radio. So I don't know. You said 702. It's not my station. But
yeah.
So I haven't heard them, but I'm going to put it on the site. I want people to listen to them. Thank you for joining us. We'll obviously keep an eye out for you. Keep an eye out for Captain Morgan. I'm very intrigued now to know what's going to be happening.
Great.
But yeah, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again.
Awesome. Thanks, Warren.
Cool. Thank you. That has been our show for this Thursday, I don't even know what the date is today, but we will see you next week, same time, same place. Remember, the podcast and all the news will be on bizcommunity.com under the Biz Takeout section. I will put the frank.net sound clips on the site as well, if you do want to go have a listen, and listen to the song What Does the Fox Say and think of Foxbee 2. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week, same time. Have a good Thursday, and I'm leaving you with Imbo Live. Cheers, bye.